welcome to the latest edition of the Britpens Fan Club podcast. We've got an absolute packed podcast for you today, and we've also got a new voice. Hello, Katrina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. A bit nervous, but how are you?
Yeah, don't be nervous. It's only us. You know us.
Yeah, I know.
And with us as well is the usual reprobates. We've got Yorkshire Rob. Hello, Rob.
Good evening, mate.
How are you doing, sir?
Not bad, mate. Not bad at all. Thank you.
Good, good, good.
We've it's got been a
other...
while.
Sorry. Yeah, it has indeed. We've got the other Rob as well.
Hiya.
How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Looking forward to tonight's game as well.
Yeah, obviously we've got a packed podcast. There's a couple of games going on this evening, so it's all good. And James as well. Hi, James.
Good evening.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. Right, we're just going to play straight into it this evening because it is packed. And the first topic of conversation is obviously the Pens and the playoffs. We managed to get through the Isles and we're partway through the Sen series. I think first, if we just briefly talk about the Isles, made a little bit more hard work of it than we should have done, really, guys. Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It seems bizarre. I don't think we were even prepared for what they were going to do. It's always going to be hard to get a sweep in a playoff series, but you've expected them to pick up on the fact that the Isles were going to try and push quite hard. Obviously, it's been a long time since the Islanders have been there. You think it's only going to take one or two games for them to pick up on playoff hockey. Obviously, they turned up with the Flyers playbook from last year and hit us quite hard and fast. And we never seemed to pick up on that. We didn't really get going. We seemed to scramble through a lot of the games.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite hard to criticise the goal. I know Math came in for a lot of stick during that series, and it's quite hard to criticise a goalie when you it still gets you to the number one in the Houston Conference. But at times, I think he was the weak link. The defence in front of him let him down a lot of the time, but a couple of unlucky bounces resulted in goals. But even so, he was still weak in some of the games.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll probably touch a little bit more in depth in the goaltending situation in a little bit, but Yorkshire Rob, you your views on the Isles?
You know me, I've always got that kind of glass half full kind of mentality. To be honest, I mean, yeah, just really kind of echoing a lot of the things that kind of Rob said. We didn't seem to get going. I thought we were poor, probably poor throughout, really. I think with the exception of game one and game five, I thought we struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Why that is, I don't really know. I kind of think my kind of overviewing thought is that I think we've made too many changes. I think we brought in too many guys. We've changed the team around too much, and it's just taking time for that to kind of work its way through and settle down. And you know, but that said, I thought it was good for us to struggle. I think teams need to go through some adversity if they're going to win a cup. I think kind of sweeping the Isles in the first round wouldn't have helped anybody. I think it's good that we've had to scrap it. We kind of rode our luck a little bit, but hopefully further down the stretch, if we get that far, then it'll hopefully help us. But kind of in the main, I wasn't overly convinced by kind of what I saw in that first series.
Sure. Okay. Katrina, what's your view on the Isles series?
And just pretty much just the same as what the guys were saying. I think they sort of looked a wee bit laid back, or too laid back, for a team that, the Islanders that are really fast. I think that too many changes, they never got a chance to settle, I don't think. And obviously there was a lot of defence issues. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, Mark Hornsby was to blame for a lot of it. I think he sort of became a bit of a, he was getting blamed for it and he shouldn't have, I don't think. But obviously we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I think they were a wee bit luckier to get through than I think everyone thought they were just going to sweep it. But in the end, it was quite hard.
Yeah, yeah. James, have you got something pithy and wise to add to the Isles series? Or are you, like the rest of us, thank God we've managed to avoid the first round and get through?
Obviously, there's relief to get through eventually this time round. I think a lot of people compared it to our first playoff series in 2007 against Ottawa. I think it is quite similar because obviously we came out, showed our class to start with, and that sort of woke the Islanders up. And for a lot of players there, it's their first time, you know, in the real big environment of the playoffs. And I think they needed that shock to sort of get going. And everyone knows the sort of speed the Islanders have. And I think that sort of was a bit difficult for us to cope with.
Yeah, sure. Well, if we sort of move on to the Sens series, you know, it's one of those where, you know, you get a game three, we're, what, less than 2 minutes away from being 3-0 up, and then obviously it all goes a little bit pear-shaped. So we'll go back to you, James, first, I think. What's your view of the series so far? I mean, is it delicately poised, or is it just an off night for the Pens and it'll be business as usual for us this evening?
Well, I don't think it was even an off night. It was an off 20 seconds. The Pens played a great game. Craig Anderson was unbelievable in net for Ottawa. And if it wasn't for him, it probably would have been 5-0 at that point, and you'd say, oh, they've got a consolation. But we turned off for whatever reason. You know, it shouldn't have happened. We're on the power play. I know they've brought on an extra skater to make it 5-on-5, but no one should be scoring in that situation.
No.
And I think if even then, in overtime, if it wasn't for Craig Anderson, he'd put the Sens away. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was a night where we made a mistake in, you know, 20-second period. We need to make sure that doesn't happen again. But if we play the same way we did for the rest of the game, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to close the series out.
Sure, sure. You in agreement, Katrina?
Yeah, definitely. It was a big shock, I think, for everybody when obviously they scored and everyone was a bit sort of like, what just happened? Like, nobody could believe it.
Were you covering the game, by the way?
I was, yeah. Which was hard going, I have to say. By the time we got into like the second overtime, I was completely flagging, definitely. It was like 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning and the sun was coming up and there we were sitting there watching hockey and it just seemed to go on forever. And I have to be honest and say by, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, I didn't care who scored in the overtime. I just wanted somebody to score. Like, I just didn't care who it was. I wanted to go to bed. And I think, you know, it was a big shock, but then, like James says, you know, it was 20 seconds that they just took their foot off the pedal and it just shows you what can happen and you need to sort of play the full game tonight and make sure they don't make any silly mistakes.
Yeah, sure. Right then, Yorkshire, Rob, are you going to give us your glasses half full mentality on the Sen series?
Once again, ultra positive, yeah. Just before we do, I think we've kind of missed something here. I don't know if you're going to kind of jump onto it in a bit, but on Sunday night, not only did we break 2,500 Twitter followers, but Katrina also got us trending in Pittsburgh, and I think we all owe a... I was going to say a round of applause, but I'm not quite sure how that will kind of work, because I've got a clap really near my face to pick it up.
Yeah,
on the
I was
going to
say I would as well. Yeah, yeah, no, that's good. That is a good point, Rob. Thank you for reminding me of that. That was an absolute sterling effort.
Absolutely.
Trending in Pittsburgh. It's just absolutely great. So I don't know what you offered or what.
I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. It was the game. It was just the game, I think.
I think you could say it was the double overtime, and everybody was amazed that we were still up. But I think it was the fact that she was there telling everybody we're still up. I think that was the point of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit up to 4 o'clock in the morning quietly.
I've got the missus fast asleep next to me.
Oh.
Yeah. So, sorry, Rob, you were going to...
Yeah, go on, my thoughts again. Yeah, I just think, really, again, I'm just going to echo what you know has already been said. I thought the series is... I think we're playing better. I'm still not convinced by this team at all yet. You know, as James said, for you know, if it kind of wasn't for that one slip-up on that final play, then we'd be 3-0 up and probably looking at, you know, closing things out this evening.
Sure.
But, well, you know, whatever happened on that last play, I've no idea. There's a really good thing, actually, have a look on a guy on Twitter called Hooks Orpik. He did a really good analysis on it, and he kind of breaks it down in, like, 5-second kind of segments, and it's really interesting to kind of look at who did what. It just seems everybody just seemed to fail in their job.
Yeah.
It just, one of those fluke things where everyone just switches off and thinks that's it.
Yeah.
And of course they score. But yeah, I'm not as concerned in this series as I was with the Isles. I think tonight's game is obviously key. It's obviously if we win, we're 3-1 up. If we lose, we're tied at 2. I think that really does turn the momentum back in the Senators' favour, because I think we're struggling a little bit with a weight of expectation as well. I think for whatever reason, I don't know why, the guys just seem to be playing with a huge weight on their backs. And I don't know if it's just the pressure of the fact that everyone's saying we should win this cup because of who we've got on the roster.
Sure. Well, Rob, do you want to finish off this bit of the podcast with your views on the Sens?
Yeah, certainly. As it stands at the moment, I think that Sid's obviously not showing any of the ill effects from his interviews, and Gino, whilst he isn't scoring goals heavily, he's definitely pushing hard and setting up plays. He drops into his beast mode every now and again. He doesn't play a full 60 in beast mode, which is a bit awkward. But he really is pushing hard. He's trying hard, but he seems to get a little bit frustrated at times and give away the penalties at the awkward times, which just seems to cut the impetus that we've brought up into the game. The way I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the fourth lines more than anything else, and I'm really impressed with our third and fourth lines, especially now, I hate to say it, Tyler Kennedy's back in the team, Joey V's back in, and hopefully tonight. And I just think that Matt Cook has been amazing. He's finishing his checks, he's chasing down the puck, he's pushing hard for turnovers. Tyler Kennedy's showing that he's probably a playoff specialist. I don't know if you want to sit him on the bench all season and just bring him in for the playoffs. He just seems to be pushing really hard. Line combos is the usual problem. It's everyone's got their own opinion as to who should be on the top two lines. I think Dan's going to keep shuffling them around. I don't think he's actually seen who he wants as his top two lines, because they haven't really seen a full, complete performance, as far as I was concerned, from the top two lines for a whole game.
Yeah.
As it stands, tonight is the key game, as Rob said. We'll cover that a bit later, but I think tonight will be the make or break of it, really.
Okay, great. Obviously, one of the main issues that's come out of the playoffs so far is the goaltending situation. Do we play Vakun? Do we play Math? Who's the right one to play? So I think it'd be remiss of us if we didn't discuss it slightly. So, James, what's your view?
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury made some big errors in the first series. I know there's a lot of people who are big fans of him, and with good reason. But I just don't think you can give up goals like that and expect to stay in the net. Volkun came in, steadied the ship. It looks like the guys feel better playing in front of him. Only lost once. And I think he's been playing really solid hockey. And I think we've got to stick with him until he's playing the same way Fleury was when we pulled him.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob Ahern, are you in agreement?
I am, yeah. I mean, it was a very brave move to pull your franchise goalie in that sort of situation, but that's the reason you brought Vakun into the team. You know, he's there to back him up, and he's there to work in partnership with him. So I think it's going to be that situation. Until he starts showing that he can't cope, it's going to be him all the way. Obviously, Math will be itching to get back in and prove what it takes. So it's a nice situation to be in, to have somebody who knows a quality goalie just waiting to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
He was weak in the second game, in the first series. I mean, Vakun was weak in the second game, but he made a lot of key saves, and we managed to get the win in the actual column. So stick with Vakun until it goes terribly wrong.
Okay. Yorkshire, Rob, are you in agreement, or have you got a different view on it?
I'd love to have a different view, but I haven't. I think maybe Katrina might have a different view later on. I don't know. But no, I think, you've got to go with the guy in form. I've always said this. I always believe this. Go with the guy that's in form. And sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a point you made on KDKA, wasn't it, when they asked you the question?
Yeah. And I think back to 2001 when Hedberg came in. I think Hedberg was third choice. At that time, he might have even made his NHL debut. I think he only played two or three regular seasons, and then they threw him in the playoffs, and he was an absolute star. we reached the conference finals that year. So there's no reason why you back up. I mean, I'm not trying to compare Vokoum with Hedberg. They're, at that point in time, they're two totally different players. Mm. But I think as as Rob and James have both said, Vokoum's experienced. He's not like a backup. He's not like going to a kind of a Brent Johnson or someone like that. This guy is he's a regular. He's a starter. He can play, and I think it's a real luxury that we can call on this guy. And I think as Rob said, the D do seem to have kind of picked up the game playing in front of him. Whether they're more comfortable or not is a different matter. That's perhaps a kind of an interesting question. I guess we'll never know the answer to that. But it would be interesting if they are more confident playing in front of Vokoum.
Sure. Katrina?
Yeah, I don't have a completely different view, but it's slightly different. Everybody who follows me on Twitter knows already that I did think that Mark Andre should have been played rather than, Thomas Vokoum that night after the game. My main concern was that it was going to affect Mark Andre's confidence. Like, what happens now if, and it's still a concern of mine, like, what happens if Thomas Vokoum, messes up, tonight and they bring in Mark Andre and, he's not ready because he feels now that he's, the backup and, Vokoum's the first guy. And I thought that they should have just went with their first goalie and showed that they believed in him, because I think they were sending a message out that they maybe didn't. And I think maybe he felt that as well, just going by things on Twitter. So, yeah, I am a Mark Andre fan. Everybody knows that. And he has made some errors. But I do, like I said earlier, I do think that he was a wee bit of a scapegoat. And I think maybe they changed more of the defence rather than him. I think that definitely he was left hung out to dry.
Yeah. It's an interesting point. I mean, I've seen some sort of criticism on Twitter about us, and that going forward we're obviously, the best or, one of the best. But at the back we're a little bit suspect, and I take the point a little bit about Vokoum. He could be a starter in a lot of teams, but I suppose what goes through my mind really is, have we got two half-decent players rather than one excellent goaltender? Flower some days can be absolutely unbeatable, and then other days he can not stop things that are coming straight at him. He's a little bit frustrating. Anyone else have a view on Flower? Do they agree with that?
Go on. I think half decent. Well, I mean, strong. Sorry, James. Go on.
I mean, the thing you have to look at is, you say it's you can say it's the defence that was in front of them that's the problem. But I mean, if you just look at the goaltending leaders at the moment in the playoffs, Mark Andre Fleury is 15th out of 16, and Thomas Vokoum is number one. So.
I know. That's the thing.
I don't think that much has changed about the defence in between. Because Mark Andre Fleury's goal against is 3.4, not even a 0.9 save percentage, and Thomas Vokoum's got 1.61 and 0.949. So, yes, the defence was poor, and I think the defence still is poor, but Vokoum's facing that high number of shots and just making more saves than Mark Andre Fleury was.
Sure.
I don't think he's only half decent. He's best. Mark Andre Fleury is a great goaltender, but I think he's a very poor playoff goaltender. And I think that's always been the case. Even the year we won the cup, his numbers weren't outstanding.
No. They were better than... Sorry, Kat, go on.
I'm sorry to stop. I would agree with what James said there. I think the pressure gets to him, which sort of ties into what I was saying about his confidence and, not playing him sort of thing. But yeah, I think he definitely lets the pressure get to him.
Rob, did you want to make a quick point before we move on?
It was just a case really that I think what we've seen in the playoffs is what you're going to get with Marc-Andre Fleury. I think he's always going to be like that. He's always going to be the guy that will play some outstanding games and win you games, but he's also going to throw a couple in his own net and lose you games. Mm. As James says, you think back to 2009 when we won the cup. If memory serves me right, it was game five. He was absolutely horrendous and he got pulled in game five. I think we got beaten 5-0. But yet he came back in game six and seven and arguably won us the cup. So you know, he's always going to be inconsistent. He's always going to have games like this. But I think the difference is now we've got a backup who's capable of stepping in there and playing a series of games. What that, you know, I think as we've discussed, what that does to his confidence in the long run, I don't know. Sure. It might be that if he gets another shout at it, he comes back fired up and determined to do it, you know, but I don't know.
Okay.
For now.
No, we could argue about this all day and all night, and a lot of people make careers out of that, so I think we'll probably park it there and move on to one aspect of the playoffs that we need to cover before we move on, and that's playoff beards. So, Mr. Howe, how are you getting on?
Not bad.
Oh, that's all right, then. Next.
It is. No. I have a thing where I shave on the morning of every first game of the series, and then I shave as soon as the series is done. And when I've done that, we've been successful. What's happened in previous year, particularly last year and 2011, is that during the first round, we're playing so badly that I've shaved to try and shape to get rid of the kind of jinx, and of course that's then screwed up and we've lost. So my beard's going along. It never gets more than 2 weeks old. I can't do it more than 2 weeks because it just looks ridiculous. I mean, it looks ridiculous now. It's itching like mad. I hate it. Why I do it, I don't know. When I explain to people at work, they think I'm just odd. Well, they think I'm odd anyway, but even odder.
It just adds fuel to that flame, doesn't it?
Indeed, though? Indeed, yeah. So that's where I'm at, but that's my superstitions, and that's what I do.
James, a man who cultivates his facial hair, tell us about yours.
Well, I'm a bit of a serial beard grower. I do it for this every year. I used to do it for exams as well, so I trim it right back on the first day of the playoffs, and I just let it grow. If we lose, I let myself trim the edges, tidy it up, but other than that, I just leave it.
Fair dues. Mr. Hearn?
Oh, mine's pitiful. I've got clumps of grey betraying my youthful looks. You know, everyone looks at my beard and think, "Daddy must be in his mid 40s," but obviously I'm early 40s, so it just makes me look a hell of a lot older than I really am.
No comment, sir. And finally, and I'm not going to crack any poor, puerile jokes,
yes,
Katrina.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Katrina, yeah, have you a view? Is there something you want to add to the conversation?
It's what? Sorry, do I have a beard? Did you just
no, speak? No, I didn't know. No. No. Is there anything you want to add to the?
No,
to
the I think playoff beards in players is understandable. I think playoff beards in fans is a wee bit ridiculous. I'll be honest.
There you go, Mister. Mister Bird, Mister Howe.
It's bad. There's no need for it. There's it's understandable if you're on the team, but you don't want to be a game and there's everyone sitting around about you just looks like Captain Birdseye. No, you don't want that. You have to be clean shaven, guys. Come on.
I'm always bearded anyway, so.
Just to recap anyway, Katrina, on your first podcast, you said you didn't care who scored in the playoff, and now you've slagged off every fan that's growing a beard. No. I just thought I'd just put that out there.
No, I said I didn't care who scored at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Come on, okay.
That's acceptable. And yes, you know, the players growing beards is fantastic. It's fun. But I think the fans doing it's just taking a wee tiny step too far.
Okay. I think that's the final word on this topic. Next part of the podcast is 87 Seconds. And joining us this evening is Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jonathan.
How are you doing,
sir? I'm not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Are you ready for your 87 seconds of fun?
Fun. Yeah, I'm ready as I can be.
Have you done some research?
Not research, just knowledge that's already in the noggin.
Well, there we go. Then let us not fight anymore. We're going to start your 87 seconds, Phil.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, so I'm going to use my 87 seconds to bring up the topic of debate among Pens fans at the minute, which is where Iginla and Kunitz should be playing. And it's not even a coincidence that Kunitz played on a line with Malkin and Neil, where Gino scored, when Gino bagged himself an Art Ross and a Hart Trophy and Neil scored 40 goals. And it's because Kunitz does all the little things right. He's a solid forechecker, and he really opens up those soft spots on the ice for Neil and Malkin to work into. Of course, Kunitz has just come off the back of a career year with Crosby, when for much of the year he was in the Art Ross race himself until Crosby decided to eat a puck, which wasn't his best idea. But, yeah, he's a solid player, and that comes to the point where Iginla gets... It's not where Kunitz and Iginla should be playing, it's where Iginla should be playing, because that line isn't working, and Kunitz has really shown that he can work with either line. It doesn't matter where he plays, he plays the same game every time, and that's a physical, solid game. And Iginla playing on the left wing...
60 seconds.
Iginla playing on the left wing just isn't working out. It's something that Bilesman needs to change. We've seen it for three games in the end of the Islanders series, and it works. I don't really understand why he switched it back, but it's something that he really needs to look into, and it's probably better that he does it sooner now than later, and really reunites Sid and Iggy, get him back to winning ways. And that's pretty much it.
And that's your 87 seconds. Just about got there, Phil.
Yep.
How was it?
Yeah, it was good. Got everything in there I needed to say.
Well, there you go then. Well, what more can we all say? Pop?
Yeah, is someone going to send this podcast to Bilesman just so he hears it before tonight?
If we had that sort of power, do you think we'd be messing about on podcasts like this?
Well, just get it sorted, Jonathan. Just get it sorted.
Okay, I'll get him on the phone in a minute.
Yeah, I saw your chatting with Jagoff interview, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, you've got to do what you can for PR, haven't you?
Yes, very good job.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Anyway, Phil, thank you very much for joining us. It was
thanks
good.
For having me. Yeah,
and
cheers.
And we'll
Phil.
We'll speak to you soon, sir.
All right, cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye. Cheers. Hi, Kim, it's Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I hear giggling in the background.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's me. I do apologize.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yes, I didn't tell them I was going to give you a call and you were going to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah, so I had a couple questions, and I guess the format is here. You guys all sort of answer the question, and what I was going to ask was sort of looking at tonight's game. So the taking on the Senators, game four, tough loss in game three, and I was going to, you know, they're talking about using Jussi Jokinen on the power play, which, you know, thank goodness, because it's about time. But, you know, I was wondering, of the new players that the Penguins have acquired this season, which one has been, you know, do you think has been the most pleasant surprise in terms of either how well they performed or maybe how poorly they performed? You know, there's quite a crop of, you know, high-profile players now. So is there one that you think has really gone above and beyond that you're surprised by, or is there one that maybe you feel like there should be more production from this person? I sort of have my own thoughts on this, but I'm interested to see what you have to say.
Kat, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I think the player that sort of answers both of those things for me is Doug Murray. I think sometimes he can be phenomenal and you're like, where on earth did this guy come from? And then other times he's just a liability, to put it politely. But yeah, I think that's my kind of star player, I would say, for both those reasons.
Mm-hmm. James?
I really like what Brendan Morrow's been doing for us. I think he brings a bit of a rough edge as well as being a veteran guy. And again, Doug Murray, he's a good hitter. He shows some good toughness, but he does have the sort of the speed of an oil tanker at times, which is a bit of a worry.
Well, and the funny thing about Doug Murray was I think he's had more goals since he's been with the Penguins than he had in something like 800 games prior. So suddenly he's scoring.
He had something like he had the longest goal drought in the league, I think.
Yeah.
Something like
right, something like that.
Odd game.
Yes, and then now suddenly and, he's a scoring machine. Yeah.
Yorkshire Rob, do you want to keep it brief? Which I know is a bit of a long shot for you, sir.
Thank you. I'll try my best. I think I've got to agree with James and say Brendan Morrow. But I mean, I've got my own opinions on the changes that we made anyway. I personally believe we made too many changes, and I think the team is struggling as a consequence of that. That we're struggling to find find the right combination of lines, as we've discussed this evening and on previous podcasts. And I just feel we've made too many. You know, it's a critical point in the season as well. We were unbeaten through March, and then we lost 4 of 12 through April. And the team hasn't played as well since March. So, you know,
That's an interesting observation. But I wonder if this is sort of just a follow-up to that, I wonder if that is more due to Crosby's sort of sudden injury and removal from the lineup than adding new people. Because, you know, I know a lot of new players added at once sometimes shake things up, but I honestly think it's a nice problem to have. Oh, no, should I put Jerome McGinley on the power play, or should I put, you know, Sidney Crosby? I don't think a lot of coaches would shy away from having that problem, you know, on their list.
I understand what you're saying, Kim, and I think sometimes, yeah, you know, I'm sure there are probably another, you know, 29 coaches, well, maybe not 29 coaches around the league, you know, who would wish to be in Dan Bilesma's shoes right now. But yeah. I think sometimes having too many options, you probably second guess and you think again. And rather than saying this is my top unit, this is my second unit, this is my top line, this is my second line, things are changing all the time. And I know that's Bilesma's way, that mm-hmm. he likes to change things and keep things fluid. But I think half the time the guys don't know who they're playing with all the time. And, you know, going in through February and March, we had the hottest line in the league in mm-hmm. Crosby, Kunitz and Dupuy. I know Sid got hurt, but that line was absolutely, you know, it was absolutely electric.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly, Dupuy, who's an unrestricted free agent, could probably write his own ticket, right? So
exactly, yeah. Yeah. And I just feel that we're trying to kind of accommodate all these guys now rather than concentrating on doing what's right for the team. It's, I don't know. I'm mm-hmm. just not. I'm a glass half empty person, as I'm sure you might have already guessed. And I'm just not convinced by this team. I just think we've made too many changes. I know that's going away from your kind of original question, but
No, I think it's but I think that's I don't think you're alone in that there's been a lot of changes, and maybe the chemistry just hasn't had time to gel.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't really found the rhythm yet. And with a shortened season, I'm sure that made it that much harder.
Sure.
You know, since we have half the season locked off by the lockout, I beg your pardon. So Jonathan, what do you think?
You asked me this question last week, didn't you, Kim? I really couldn't fetch one name out really that was outstanding. You know, I think they've all come in and done jobs to varying or great degrees. Jokinen, you could sort of maybe sort of argument for Morrow. It's just difficult. I think they've all, you know, come in and done a job. So I'm not going to single one out, because I think, you know, what we've got at the moment is we've got some sort of momentum. Hopefully, you know, we get restoration of our you know, a win tonight, and, you know, close out the series, and then hopefully we can move on to the next round. Other Rob, have you got a?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just impressed with with Sutter, all the small things he's doing. I think he's putting some real good effort in. On the opposite side, it's an awkward one. I'm going to say Morrow. I'm loving what he's doing, but I really would like to see more points off him.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you try and move on to your next question?
Jonathan, you kind of led me to my next question for the next round. You know, it would be either the Rangers or the Bruins. And sort of which team are you guys more afraid of? Which one would you rather face? And there's their player. I don't know how closely you follow those two teams, but I follow them pretty closely. So, you know, my feeling is I'd much rather face the Rangers than the Bruins, because the Bruins seem very tough. They have a lot of momentum.
Rob, do you want to go first?
Yeah, certainly. I'd actually like to see the Rangers. Slightly different reasons. I think if we had the Rangers, we'd get into a bit of a scrap, but I think we'd win through. If we had the Bruins, I don't think we'd actually come out of that one quite nicely. I think, as I said, it's... we would probably slip up. I think you'd start to see the worst of the Penguins again, so I'm going to go Rangers.
Okay. Yorkshire, Rob, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I prefer the Bruins. And I mean, I know it's if we do go through, it's probably going to be the Bruins, but I would much rather play a stronger team than play a weaker team. Mm. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you need to be playing, you know, you need to be on your game, you need to be tested, you need to be pushed, guys need to be, you know, it's kind of like I mentioned earlier, there's no point in kind of sweeping your first round opponent, because you're not really, you know, you're not in the battle, you're not in the fight, you need to be on your game. And I think if we can play the Bruins, we beat them, if we beat them, it gives us, you know, an incredible amount of confidence to go in to the Stanley Cup finals, should we get that far.
But James?
I'd like the Bruins, but for a different reason, because I just really don't like playing against Lundqvist, especially not in the playoffs, because he's proven he can almost carry the whole team on his back.
Which he really has been, right?
Yeah, and so the Bruins at the moment look a tough opponent, but like Rob said, you do need to face the toughest to win the Stanley Cup. So
yeah. Katrina?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to pick Rangers, simply because, and I know this is a wee bit silly, but simply because I hate them and I would love to just stuff them and put them out in the Stanley Cup. I hate them. I cannot stand them. And I could just punch every one of them on the team. So that would be just super sweet. Like, it would just be, it would be better.
So you don't want them just to get beaten. You want them to be, like, pulverized, you know, lots of injuries. Really humiliating.
I'm joking.
She doesn't want them to get beaten. She wants to beat them.
Literally.
Personally.
With her hands beaten.
I can't stand them. I don't like their fans. I just don't like them as a team. I don't like, you know that way everybody hates the Philadelphia Flyers? I have that hatred for the New York Rangers, so get them out, and I hate them. So sure.
You sort of touched a chord when you said Flyers for me. That really resonates.
That's how I feel with the Rangers. It's like every time someone mentions them, my fists just clench and I just.
Okay, we better move on then, haven't we? Really, before Katrina starts getting a little bit angry. Personally, I think.
A Braveheart here.
Yeah, absolutely. Personally, I think Rangers are going to get closed out, and it's going to be the Bruins anyway. So I think what we want and what we're going to get potentially could be two different things. You know, Bruins are a good team, but if you're going to go all the way, you've got to play and beat the best team. So if it's the Bruins, bring them on.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for having me on. I mean, I really, you know, I'm a big fan, obviously, of what you guys are doing. And, you know, I'd love to... you know, keep in touch. And if you make it to Pittsburgh, I know some of you have been, but if you have future trips planned, let me know. I'd like to show you around, and you know, maybe we could all go to a Pens game together sometime.
Kim, that's a great offer, and we will be taking that up.
Fantastic.
We're all stopping at Andrew Conti's house. Then you can come and pick us up and show us around, and then you can drop us off after the game. So that's absolutely – to be honest, thank you very much for the article last week. It was great. It's given us some more exposure. We really appreciate it, and thanks for taking interest in us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kim. Speak to you soon.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Take care.
On the next part of the podcast, we've got a special guest. We've got Mike O'Brien from the Baby Pens. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Getting a little excited, getting a little nervous. Really, the spectrum of emotions right now for Game 7 of this Eastern Conference semifinal versus the Bruins. It's been a fun ride, though.
Yeah, we are recording before Game 7. For people who are not quite aware, Baby Pens were 3-0 down and have won the last three games.
Yep, down 3-0, and let's be honest, Providence really took it to the Baby Penguins games 1 and 2 here on Bruins home ice in Providence, and it seemed like looks pretty strange. How are they going to battle this seemingly high-powered offense of the Bruins? But Game 3, tough loss. 2-1 in overtime as the Bruins scored just 31 seconds in, capitalizing on a turnover. And all of a sudden, we're down 3-0 in the series. And, you know, how often you can get a win, let alone come back to tie it up in a situation like that. But the Penguins have really battened down the hatches defensively. They've gotten great goaltending from Brad Thiessen, who came in after Game 2 and has only allowed 4 goals in his last 4 games. So he's really helped the Penguins immensely in between the pipes and getting timely scoring on the power play. And then Game 6 was just one of those, it wasn't a weird game, but it was a game that the Providence was really looking to close out the series. It ended up outshooting the Penguins 47-18. and somehow Thiessen kept us tied 1-1 going into overtime, and Trevor Smith able to wrap one past the Bruins goaltender for a 2-1 win. So here we are tonight, Game 7.
Yeah.
And, winner take all, looking to see who's going to play the Syracuse Crunch in the next round.
Yeah, I mean, surely now momentum would suggest that you know, the baby Pens can do it. I mean, we're all hoping that it's going to happen. We've got Rob with us, who takes more of an interest in the Pens, if you will, than some of us, really. I think a lot of Penguins fans are aware of the baby Pens, insofar as we know that players come up and down, but we don't sort of maybe follow them as much as we should. I think, you know, what's come out of the last couple of weeks, really, and the series with the Bruins, is that maybe we should. And Rob, on the other hand, is quite, does follow you guys, so he's got a few questions. So I'm going to hand over to Rob.
Thanks, John. Hi, how are you doing?
Well, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I've got lots of questions. Obviously, time's a bit limited because you've got, as you said, you've got to get ready. It's, 2 hours till puck drop now. So, firstly, do you think that sweeping the Senators 3-0 in the first round of the Calder Cup was a sufficiently tough series for the Baby Pens, given what was going on?
I think it was a tough series. I mean, you look at the scores, and it was 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. It doesn't get much closer than that in terms of the difference between winning and losing. And really, a bounce here for the Senators, and it could easily have been a 3-0 sweep for Binghamton. So it was a very tough series, and it's been a tough series all during the regular season and obviously the first round, but obviously the Penguins had a little bit more and able to get a couple bounces, and it felt good to get that 3-game sweep and just start to prepare for this next series.
Yeah, great. A lot of coverage has been given to what happened in Game 5. Obviously, it was a great result, but the penalty count and the attacks, really, are the main questions that people have around that. Firstly, what are your thoughts on Mink's blatant ambush of Thiessen at one point in time?
I think it's just a situation where things happen during the course of a playoff series when you're playing the same team over and over and over again, and sometimes emotions get the best of you, and obviously emotions took over for both teams in that game, but you just move forward on to the next game because it's not about penalty minutes or retribution or anything like that. It's about trying to win the game. I think both teams did a very good job moving forward with Game 6.
Yeah, I mean, Game 6, as Jonathan mentioned, the whole momentum shift now, do you feel that it has completely shifted in favour of the Baby Pens? Is this it? You know, are they going to go on tonight and win Game 7?
It's tough because the way the Bruins dominated, I mean, when you get out shot 47-18 and somehow win, I'm not sure if you really have momentum because, I'll be honest, Providence, except for the first 5 to 7 minutes of the first period, it was all Providence for the rest of the game. Finally, the Penguins were able to find some life in the overtime, but when you win, but you didn't, you kind of got, you didn't really play your game for much of the game. It's tough to say that you have momentum now. The Penguins have come out and, won 6-1 or something like that going into Game 7. I think you talked about momentum, but at the end of the day, it's one game. And you got to put, just like the Penguins were able to put a 3-0 deficit behind them and win Game 4, win Game 5, win Game 6, any momentum from Game 6, I think, if you have it, cool. If not, I think it's just a one-game series at this point. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Just get ready for today.
Yeah, you mentioned Brad Thiessen earlier on, and obviously in the last three games he's been fantastic. 33 saves in the final two periods of Game 6. Do you think Providence are worried about him now? Do you think that he's got into their heads and they're going to have trouble getting past him? Because I think it's 9-2 is the score count in the last three games.
I think a hot goaltender is something that that can creep in the opposing mind. Unfortunately, I think if you are the Providence Bruins and you keep firing, if you fire 46 shots or 47 shots in on net again tonight, I think you like your chances at the Bruins. But they scored a lot of goals in this series, and I know Brad Thiessen has come in and kind of obviously put the proverbial wall up, but it's a whole new day, it's a whole new game, and I'm not sure if Providence feels like they need to make the perfect shot, but they keep sending pucks in on net, and they got a lot of grade A scoring chances. So I think if you're Providence, you say, hey, we did all the right things, we got 47 shots in on net, we had a lot of quality scoring chances, let's see that goaltender make 46 saves again.
Yeah, and just a quick final one. Seeing as you have the players that have come and gone through from either being called up to the Pittsburgh Penguins or moved on to other NHL franchises, You know, you got Dupre, Bortuzzo, Bennett, Strait, Tangredi, Costopoulos. Is there anyone out of those that you would like to have said we really could have done with keeping hold of them rather than letting them move on?
I think, you know, this is what our league is for here in the American hockey, what the Wolves, Grizzlies, Grand Penguins are for. You're developing players for the next level. And obviously we will enjoy the services of Simone Dupre, Bo Bennett, Tom Costopoulos, what have you, for as long as they're here. But the purpose of the Wolves, Grizzlies, Grand Penguins is to develop players for the NHL and hopefully for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, yeah, I mean, there are a ton of players that I would love to have on our team. I would love to have Sidney Crosby and Benny Malkin down here as well. But to help Wolves, Grizzlies, Grand Penguins to victory. But, you know, you work with the team you have, and this team has obviously a lot of talent, a lot of character, and hopefully they have a few more playoff games in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Quick question then. Who's your favorite of the current roster?
Wilkes-Barre Scranton or Pittsburgh?
Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
Wilkes-Barre Scranton. I'm a big I'm going to go with, I guess, a two. I'm a big Trevor Smith fan. He's been he's one of the alternate captains, and he's just a quality guy throughout the course of the season, and both on and off the ice. And I really like Brad Thiessen as well. He's quiet, unassuming, just goes about his business, and probably one of the nicest guys you'll meet. And I'm happy that both these guys are starting to see a lot of success here in the playoffs.
Thanks very much, Mike. It's been great talking to you.
Great talking to you guys, too. Hopefully we get to do it sometime soon.
Yeah, Mike, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for supporting us. Your Twitter feed does retweet us and mention us quite a lot, and we do appreciate that.
Not a problem, and don't stay up too late. I hope we won't keep up too late tonight while listening to the game.
Yeah, it's not you guys, it's the others. They can't seem to close games out.
Well, hopefully a couple of wins and early nights for everyone. And
I think that sounds like a plan. Thanks again, Mike. Good luck for this evening. Say good luck to all the guys for us if you get a chance. You know, we're really rooting for you as well, and hope to speak to you soon.
Sounds good.
Cheers, Mike. Bye.
Thank you.
And finally on the podcast, we need to do some predictions as we always do. Always a little difficult with the playoffs because you're not quite sure how many games it's going to be, but we'll have a go anyway. Obviously, we've got the rest of the Sens series to predict. So let's have some thoughts. Yorkshire Rob, how many games is it going to go?
Oh, I think before this series started, I think I called this one in seven. To be fair, I also called the Bruins Rags in six, and that looks like it's probably going to be four. I don't think we close this one out in five. I think it could potentially go to six, possibly seven, although the key game, as I mentioned earlier on, is this evening. I think if we win tonight, then I think we win on Friday. I think if we don't, then I think Friday's game takes on a whole new meaning, and I think that's when we could see the series go to seven. So I think tonight is key, an absolutely key game.
Okay. Other Rob?
I'm just wondering where the actual prediction is in that comment.
Oh, sorry.
It's a key game. I'm not going to call it.
It's been 2 months since we've done this. Come on, and I'm half asleep and the Red Bull still hasn't kicked in. My prediction for tonight is going to be 2-1 Pens. And then if it is 2-1 Pens, then I'm going to go for a 3-0 win on Friday night.
Fair enough. Other Rob?
Don't write that down.
Too late, it's down.
Right, yeah. Tonight's game, obviously, Spezza's going to have a bit more prep time, but I think he's still too rusty for the playoffs. So I'm actually going for a Pens 3-1 win with an empty netter right at the end. And then dropping that, I think that'll go back to game five at the CEC, and I think you'll see a dominant performance with a 4-0 win Pens. If, however, they don't win tonight, then I think you'll see Math back, and I've got us down for a win in six.
Okay. You've thought about this, haven't you?
I haven't. Make it all up as we go along.
Yeah. Katrina?
I think we're going to win tonight. I think it's... I don't really like calling games because I'm always really wrong, but I don't know.
So are we.
Yeah. Have you not heard a podcast before from us?
2-1 Penguins. And I think... I do think we'll win. I definitely do think we'll win. And then Friday night, I think we'll win, definitely. And oh, to hell with it, Sydney's going to get 4 hat tricks on Friday night. That's my prediction.
Okay, James.
Just before I start, you talked about our inaccuracy. I think I actually called in the podcast when our 19 game, sorry, our win streak would end. Well, 9 games, don't know why I said that. But I guess about football in my mind that was 19, but it wasn't wins, it was losses.
It's
but I don't know why I think about that at that moment. I was actually thinking about when Burnley went 19 games without a win. But I don't know why I was thinking about that just before I spoke about this. But I think we'll close it out in 5. I think we'll get back to scoring ways tonight and score at least 3. I don't want to call an actual score because that's too tough. That's hard work. But no, I think we win tonight and we win in game 5 to tie it up. And we move on.
Yeah, I just think we're going to win tonight as well. I'm going to say 3-1 tonight. And I'm going to say 4-2 on Friday. And we move on to the Bruins. So I think it's as clear-cut as that. So inevitably, it won't be. So that's it then, guys. We've got to the end of the podcast. We've obviously talked to Kim from the Post Gazette. We've talked to Mike O'Brien from the Baby Pens. It's been quite a packed podcast. We've talked to Phil and he's given us his 87 seconds. So Katrina's made a debut. You are bloodied in now, so to speak.
Can we just reiterate what Katrina's statements were? Firstly, yep. She just wants anybody to score in 4.
Yeah.
She wants to beat up all the Rangers players and fans.
Yep.
What was the third one? I've forgotten the third one there.
It's like Emmerdale.
That's it, yeah.
You made it all that out.
Yeah.
Everything I've said, just pretend I didn't show up.
And we've got to the end of the podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and it's good night from me.
Good night from me.
Good night from me.
And good night from me.
And good night from me.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We are not an official fan club of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The opinions given are our personal ones and not representative of the Pittsburgh Penguins organization.